Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Joshua. Now, we're going to Joshua chapter 12 and chapter 13. What we're going to do is we're going to read the first six verses out of each chapter. And I want to give you something. I want to talk to you a little bit about possessing your possessions. Possessing your possessions. Kind of seems like an odd title, but once we get into it a little bit, I think you'll begin to see where I'm going. So Joshua chapter 12 and Joshua chapter 13. And we're going to start in Joshua 12 and we'll read the first six verses. And then we'll get into chapter 13. We'll read the first six verses of that one. All right, Joshua 12 verse 1. He says, "Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon, and all the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon. And from the middle of the river, and from the half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. And from the plain of the sea of Chinneroth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salcah, and in all Bashan, under the border of the Geshurites, and the Makathites, and half Gilead, and the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses the servant of the Lord and the children of Israel smite, and Moses the servant of the Lord gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh." All right, come over to chapter 13. Verse 1, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshurai, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite. Five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites, the Ashdothites, the Eshkelonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and the Mira, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising from Baal Gad under Mount Hermon, unto the entering in of Hamath, and all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mizrephoth Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee." All right, y'all may be seated. I appreciate it. One of the things I wanted to point out, now this all seems really, really technical. I mean, there's a lot of names here. There's a lot of names, there's a lot of things that's going on here that you look at and you see. But one of the things I want to point out to you is the importance and the significance of all of this has to do with the fact that one of them is past possession and one of them is future possession. All right, now to listen to older Christians tell you about what they've come through down through the years and down through life, there's absolutely no doubt, and no doubt there's, it's people, y'all sitting in here this morning or listening to us online, whichever one it may be, there's no doubt that you understand that what you have come through in this life, the only thing that's got you through it has been the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that's got you through what you've went through. How do you go through losses? How do you go through struggle? How do you go through trial and tribulation without the hand of God? We were talking about that, me and somebody, who was it? It was me and brother Jeff Stewart. Him and Jeremy, his brother, came and picked my mom up in the ambulance. They're the ones who came and got her and took her down to the hospital. And he pulled over on his way through one day. Me and my brother was standing out in the parking lot there on the side of the road. And he pulled over there and he said, just wanted to check on her and see how she is doing. And we got talking a little bit. And you know one of the things he said to us? He said, fellas, I just don't see how somebody in this life can go through what they go through without the Lord. And I said, amen, amen, amen. I don't see how people in this life go through the things that they do without Jesus Christ. How is it that folks can wake up in the morning and even put a foot in the floor and not think that somebody somewhere gave them the grace to put that foot on the floor and stand up and get up and put clothes on and go brush their teeth and wash their face and have something to eat before they start their day, and then whatever job they may be given or how much they hate it or how much they love it, it doesn't matter. The God, good Lord gave them the job that they've got, and He's given them the opportunity to go out and work and to labor and provide for those of their house. What is that? That's a great God. That's a wonderful Savior. Listen, even in spite of everything that we may have to face, God is still good. He is still good to us. But the truth of life is that the farther down the road we have to go, the harder the battles are going to become. That's just the truth of life. That's not me trying to be downheartening or discouraging or anything. That's just life. And anybody who's lived more than 5 minutes knows that the further down the road you go, the harder things are going to get. They don't get easier. They get more difficult. Temptations become harder to resist. Amen. Pride becomes easier to fall before. You know what the Bible says? He says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, he says, the beauty of an old man is the gray head. But you know what it also says in Proverbs 16, 31? The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. You know, there's a lot of folks, I mean, Genesis chapter 42, you go over there and you study about Jacob, and there, excuse me, there was a man over there that, or the Jacob, y'all pray for me. This thing trying to get wild, he trying to get wild up on me, and it ain't done nothing all morning now. It ain't messed with me all morning. The minute I get up here and start preaching the word of God, the devil come in here and try to choke me. Genesis 42, Jacob's over here and he's facing the starvation of his family. And he's told his boys, he says, go down to Egypt and buy some corn. And the men went down there and they bought some corn. Of course, Joseph, his son's over Egypt now, and everything, you know the story and how everything transpires. But see, because he was worried, he didn't know, because Jacob was worried and he didn't know that Joseph was the one over the land, he wasn't willing to allow the youngest son of the family to go down with his brothers. He said, I don't want Benjamin going down there, and I don't want him going down there because, he said, I've already lost his brother Joseph, he said, and I don't want to lose him. He's the last son I've got of my favorite wife. Now, how about that? Some of you ladies, now you already got you one husband, and he's already a pinhead sometimes. Ain't but two ladies in here that's married right now, so you got that bonehead, pinhead for a husband, and you ain't got to deal. You know, you're the only one that's got to deal with him. Amen. Think about you. What if you had to share him with about four more? Amen. Now, I don't know about you fellas, but I don't know that I can handle four more. I got one I'm married to, and the other that thinks she's married to me. She ain't married to me, but she's getting everything I got anyway. Amen. But listen, let me just tell you something. This man was so distraught and under so much stress that he was not willing to let his son go down to Egypt for fear of sorrow upon sorrow, having already lost his son Joseph. And no doubt that put a lot of gray hair on that old man's head. I have absolutely no doubt. And you know this because in Genesis 49, when the story finally unfolds and Jacob finally goes down to Egypt, when he learns that Joseph is alive, whenever Joseph comes and he presents his daddy and all of his brothers to Pharaoh, he says, this is my daddy, these are my brothers, this is the story. Man, this is what God has done. Then whenever Pharaoh begins to talk to Jacob, he tells him, he says, how old are you? And Jacob begins to tell him how old he is. And you know what he says? He tells him in Genesis 47, verse 9, he says, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Few and evil. Boy, a lot of gray hair put on that head because of stress and because of worry and because of doubts. Listen, the Bible says the beauty of an old man is his gray head, but that doesn't always mean that those gray hairs found their way on top of his head because of good, righteous living and things. Sometimes it's sorrow. Sometimes it's tragedy. Sometimes it's trouble. Sometimes that's what it is that puts those hairs on the head. Many a gray head has come to the grave with sorrow because of so much distress and so much depression and so much time without peace. But they were looking. You know what happens a lot of times? People go to looking like the leprechaun. They go to looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you know. Kicking off the golden years with a big old pot of gold at the end of life's rainbows. When they ain't nothing down there, amen. They ain't nothing. You study the life of David and you see that the king's life didn't get any easier, but it got harder for him the further down the road he went. Bible says in 2 Samuel 21, he says, "And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant," this is one of Goliath's brothers, he said, "the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight," that's about 60 pounds, "he being girded with a new sword thought to have slain David." The fight's never really over. Between these two passages that we've read this morning, we've got a list of what's already been conquered and we've got a list of what's left to be possessed. But I want to give you a few things if I could this morning, and then we'll go ahead and close her down. But I want to give you some things, first of all, on past possessing. I want you to see in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "The kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed to their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun." And he begins to list all those things. You see from the wording that not only did they smite these kings and the inhabitants of these lands, but it also says they possessed them. He said Israel smote and possessed their land. See, there's a thing about it when it comes to possessing and when it comes to conquering. You go in there and you take over a place and you plant your little flag and then you don't never do nothing else. It's real easy for somebody else to just walk in and kick your flag off the top of the hill and put their flag in its place. But what it talks about possessing, what he's talking about is it's a lot harder for somebody to dispossess you when you've moved in, you've built houses, you've planted gardens, you've established yourself in this area. And when we're talking about possessing your possessions, one of the things we've got to understand is we've got to understand that when it comes to past possession, what it means is you've moved into a place and you've set up roots. That's the reason a lot of Christians don't grow. That's the reason the past of their life behind them as a Christian is full of emptiness and nothing, because they've not allowed themselves to get located in a local church where they can grow and get firmly founded and planted, and they can grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe it's the same on the opposite end of the spectrum also. I believe there's people that have been in churches for 40 and 50 years and they've never grown and they've never done anything as far as their spiritual life with Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're not in the place God wants them. "Oh, but I've been here for 40 or 50 years." That don't matter. If it ain't where God wants you, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. If you are where God wants you, there's one thing that's going to be about it. You're going to try to put roots down, and you're going to say, "This is where I want to be. That preacher is going to be my preacher. This church is going to be my church family, and this is where God wants me, because this is where I'm growing. This is where I'm getting help. This is where I'm being encouraged." And when it comes time to go to church, it's not, "I have to go." It's, "Man, I can't wait to get there." That's how you know you're where God wants you. And see, I've told them before, I said, it ain't about a church membership. It ain't about a piece of paper with your name on it saying you go there. Now, we offer that, and I highly recommend it to people that aren't members of the church, that want to become a part of something that's bigger than what they could be on their own. "Well, I just don't want to join anywhere because I don't want to be tied down." Well, then you don't have roots. You don't have any roots. Join and be a part of something. Commit. Don't just say, "Well, I'll go there till stuff hits the fan, then I'll go find somewhere else to go." No, that's not possessing a possession. That's just passing through and putting your little flag up and saying, "As long as things are going good here, I'll keep my flag here." But somewhere along the line, somebody's going to walk up and they kick your little flag over, and because you didn't have anything firmly planted, you know what happens to somebody when they know that they're going to be in a place for a long time? When they plant their flag, they pour concrete around the base of it. They put a flagpole up and they pour concrete around the base of it. Why? I say, you ain't taking that down. That's mine. I'm staying here. But somebody who just walks up and says, I claim this land in the name of, you know. But then when the wind blows, there your flag flops over. It's like, oh, well, it must not have been God's will for me to be here. Something's happened. My feelings have got hurt. I've gotten mad. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. That's the reason why you got a lot of people with commitment issues when it comes to being a part of a local assembly. Why is that? Why do people have such a hard time committing to something whenever it's so obvious that God is doing something in their heart and in their life? He's helping them. He's doing something for them. And they sit there and say, yeah, I just don't like being tied down. Well, all right, then you just go ahead and go on and be a maverick all your life and be a, you know, be a rebel and just be the lone wolf or whatever you want to call yourself. And every time the wind comes and every time the wind blows, you know what the blessing of being in a storm is having a shelter to go to. And that's what this place is for a lot of people. All right, so we see that in our, now up here in our area, I'm not talking about any of the preachers in our area in a disrespectful manner, and I hope it's not taken that way. I thank God for a man who'll get in a pulpit where a church needs a preacher, and he'll preach, and he'll stay there for a long time. I don't think much of preachers who'll go get in a pulpit and stay there for 6 or 8 months or a year, and then they don't see a great revival break out, and they don't see a bunch of people getting right with the Lord, and they don't see a ton of people getting saved, and then they say, well, God must not want me here, and they move on and they're gone. A lot of churches are playing spiritual, or they're playing musical preachers. And a lot of preachers are playing musical churches. And what it is you got these churches that are having church members swapping one hand after the other, right after the other, right after the other, because they're following the preacher around. They're following the guy that they like to listen to, the one that makes them feel good. And listen, what God wants them to do is He wants them to get founded in a local church. And whether you like the preacher all the time or you don't like the preacher all the time, you sit down, you get yourself located in one spot, and you ask God to do something with you. There's been a lot of people, beloved, that's missed out on possessing some things because they wasn't able to stay where God put them. They wasn't able to stay where God put them. They ain't got. Listen to me, church. I want to tell you something. 6 months to a year is not long enough for a group of people to get to know a preacher, nor a preacher to get to know the people he's preaching to. I mean, listen, this coming October here, we're right now at the end of the month of August. It's hard to believe that 2021 is already 3/4 of the way almost over. And we ain't got but, me and Heather was watching something the other day, and there was some group of guys that we listen to sing from time to time, and they come on there and they sing a Christmas song. I told her, you know what? I said, we're going to spin around twice, and it's going to be here. I said, it's already fixed to be September. I said, that means you got October and November, and bam, and it's here. I said, we're 3 months away from being at Christmas again. And I thought to myself, my goodness, Lord, how time has flown by. And then I got to thinking, I said, man, the month of October, I'll have been at Heady Mountain Baptist Church for 6 years, the month of October. And I just got to sitting there thinking about it. I said, Lord, you sure have brought us through a lot in 6 years. You sure have done a lot in that little church in 6 years. And Lord, I got to thinking about it, and I said, but you know one thing I realized? I realized that I'm still to a place where I'm still learning this place. And the people are still learning me. And we're still going to, and it's going to stay that way for a while. It'll have to. I heard a preacher one time say it takes anywhere from 7 to 10, or from 5 to 7 years to get people all looking in the same direction. And it take anywhere from 5 to 7 more years to get them all walking in the same direction. And it could take another 5 to 7 years to get them all running in the same direction. And that's the reason why you have such a hard time anymore with churches getting something going to where they can be profitable. Listen, church is not just about coming together and getting in here and listening to a man spit and slobber and holler for 45 minutes or an hour and shout and holler from some singing that's been some... And listen, we got some good singing here, and we've got some good Bible teaching, and we've got some good preaching in this area, and God's blessed this area with some great men of God. But I want to tell you something, beloved. There's more to be in a church than just coming in here and shouting it out for an hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, and an hour on Wednesday night. It's more to be in a church than doing those things. What is that? People need to possess their possessions, and the only way they can do that is stay at something long enough for God to turn it into a well-oiled, well-working machine so that He then can get some glory out of it. He can make it move the direction He wants it to move, and He'll be able to say, I don't have to worry about what those people are doing. I know what I can count on them to do, and they'll be obedient. Why? Because they didn't get tired of the status quo. They didn't get fed up with, well, I just don't get nothing out of the preaching anymore. I don't get nothing out of the teaching anymore. Well, the singing just ain't what it used to be. Well, the environment just ain't like it used to be. And no, let me tell you something. God's trying to make the environment. God's trying to make the atmosphere. God's trying to mold the church. What it is you got a group of people who don't like seeing change. They don't like seeing God move. They want it to be the same way it's been for 40 stinking years, and then they want the church to fall asleep on God. And that's where they get. Well, the problem's the preacher. Let's run him out. Vote of confidence in the preacher. I call for a vote of confidence. Miss Donna, she cracked me up. I love Miss Donna. I hope she's listening to me this morning. Miss Donna, I love you. I miss seeing your smiling face. I can't wait to get everybody back in here where I can see everybody's smiling faces. We's back here cleaning. Miss Donna, bless her heart, she's sitting in that chair. Her and Miss Shirley, boy, they just a cleaning to beat the band back here in this back room here. And poor old Miss Donna, she's in that cabinet or in this closet over here. She's cleaning. All of a sudden, she pulls out some cards and she handed them to Katie, I think. And she said, here, take them to your daddy. And when I got, hey, Katie brought them to me, just a little stack of, it looked like business cards, and got them out, and I looked at them, and it was a question. It was like a questionnaire, and it said, do you feel that the pastor of Heady Mountain Baptist Church is, do you have confidence that the pastor of Heady Mountain Baptist Church is doing, fulfilling his duties, and so on and so forth. You know, however, it was worded. And I said, I told Cassie, here, let me have him. I'm going to throw him away. I said, I don't want nobody getting a hold of that, answering that truthfully. Because I don't know that I'd want to know the answer. Anyway, the past possessions happened here in the first five verses of the chapter, in chapter 12. And one of the things you need to notice is, these things that happened were on the other side of Jordan. These things didn't happen in the land of Canaan. These happened on the other side of Jordan. Because it was Moses that was leading. And he was the one who gave those possessions. Moses never crossed Jordan and went into the promised land. So it was on the other side of Jordan. And it was given to the 2.5 tribes that would return once the whole land was conquered. There was 2.5 tribes out of Israel that didn't go into Canaan's land to possess what God wanted them to possess. They kept their possession on the other side of Jordan. Joshua was a military leader who was blessed enough to grow up under the leadership of the meekest man upon the face of the earth. As the Bible calls him in chapter 12, or Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, says the man Moses was meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. The blessing of growing during that time is that God is helping the people above you. See, now this is where we're kind of setting up for Joshua, because in chapter 13 it's now Joshua in control. But we see the blessing of growing up during the time that God is helping people above you to possess their possessions. That's what it gives you, the blessing and the opportunity to see how God brings them through. I mean, we've sat and watched our parents go through things, and we've watched our grandparents go through things, and we've watched God carry them, and we've watched Him work works in their lives that got them to the place where they were spiritually. And we were able to see that happen. And what that did is it gives confidence to you and me that whenever the Lord got them through, He can still get us through. The same God that carried them is the same one that'll carry us. The importance of past possession is not only is that it not only shows that the Lord can bring you through, but it shows that you cannot expect to possess your possession if you're not progressing forward. You can't possess possessions if you're not progressing forward. Joshua's growth never stopped even after Moses passed off the scene. Moses was the teacher, and Joshua was the military leader. But Joshua was the one learning under the hand of the man of God, Moses. But even after Moses passes off the scene, Joshua's growth didn't stop. It continued, but it took on a different form of learning. It took on a different method of learning. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more." Paul was telling the Thessalonian believers, he said, we've showed you how to do everything. Now, just because we ain't going to be here all the time, every time the doors are open, just because we're not going to be here every day with you, that doesn't mean that you're to quit growing. You need to abound more and more and more. Part of possessing your possessions, even in past possessions, is to do what is to honor those who have gone before you by doing what they taught you to do. As long as it goes along with this book. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's been some traditions that have been passed down, even in my own family, that are not biblical. There's people in my family who believe things and they've taught things for years that are not in the Bible. You know, somebody, well, for instance, I mean, I'm still looking for that verse that says cleanliness is close to godliness. I'm still looking for that verse. I ain't found it yet. You know, I'm still looking for that verse. I'm still looking for that verse where it says that you're to hate the sin but love the sinner. I'm still looking for that verse. Still looking for that passage. And I ain't found it yet. And I ain't saying that, but you see, that's the thing is, that's not a biblical principle. It's a tradition. It's something that's been passed down from generation to generation. It's something that people teach, but they have no biblical basis for it. And that's a lot of times hard for a lot of people, especially people around here, man. We're country folk. We're steeped in tradition. We're steeped in passing the torch down and taking what grandma and grandpa taught you and living by that as though that were law. Without disrespecting them, I have to tell you that if it ain't in the Bible, it's wrong. I don't care if it was taught to you by grandma and grandpa. Amen. And the Bible believer will admit to that, but the person who believes whose blood is thicker than the Bible, amen, people whose blood's thicker than the Bible, they've got a problem with that. All right, it's easy to know how to plant and when to plant and where to plant when you got somebody there to tell you. I remember my papa always calling us. He'd say, "Hey, y'all, we need to get out here and get these taters in the ground." And that was always the signal of, okay, we didn't worry about what time of the year it was. We never paid attention to what the signs were on the calendar, and we never paid attention to what the phase of the moon was. We never paid that stuff no attention. We just waited for the phone call. And when the phone call came, hey, we need to get these taters in the ground. Okay, then that Saturday we got out and we put taters in the ground. See, it was easy to know how to do it when somebody was there to tell you how to do it. But see, when it come time for us to learn how to do it, okay, now what? Now what? When they ain't got somebody there to tell you how to get through it, how are you going to get through it? Unless you've got a relationship with the Lord yourself that you've begun to possess some of the possessions He wants you to have. Some of the things that God wants you to have. Some of the things, listen, have you spent enough time in this Bible that you're beginning to lay hold on some of the things that God wants you to find in there that are yours and He wants you to have them, but yet because we don't spend time in there, we're not possessing those possessions, therefore we're not going to know how to get through those things when those times come? Boy, I tell you, there's times you go through things, and I'm going to tell you, especially in this last week, I mean, I ain't trying to say that we've went through things that other people ain't went through, but boy, I'm going to tell you, we've been through some trial this past week. There were times when we weren't sure whether or not my mama was going to come home. There were times when we sat there and said, are we going to even be able to see her again? Now, we know we'll see her, you know. We'll see her again. Even if something bad happened to her and she went on home to be with the Lord, we'd see her again. I know that. But, I mean, sitting there thinking, man, is the last time I'm going to lay eyes on my mama on this earth when she was in the back of that ambulance heading off down towards Franklin? Is that the last time I'm going to see her before I get to heaven? You know? And you get to thinking about that stuff, and boy, I tell you, it just begins to make you start thinking, have I possessed all the possession that God wants me to possess? Because I'm going to tell you something, you can miss out on some things that God needs you to have and God wants you to have that's going to help you when it comes to those times. Listen, don't you know that Joshua was really bothered by the fact that he was fixing to lead a crowd of 2 million plus into a land, and he was going to have to divide the land up amongst them, plus lead them into battle to conquer it all, and the man that he came up under that he had relied upon the whole time for the past 45 years, and now he's got to do it on his own? He ain't got him there to help him. He ain't got him there no more. Let's talk a little bit about your present possessions. That one right there was the longest one. I'll try to get through these next two pretty quick. Now, regardless of what lies behind you, see, it says in chapter 13, verse 1, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Regardless of what lies behind you or what may be ahead of you, the one thing the individual possesses right now is the moments of life. That's what you have right now. I mean, listen, if Joshua had any doubt about his state in life, they were put to rest by the Lord telling him, thou art old and stricken in years. Boy, anything to ever get you, you know, nothing like an outside source to put to rest all them doubts that you may have about being old or broke down. And the Lord just step in and say, yeah, you're old. And I'm the Ancient of Days. And I'm telling you, you're old and stricken in years. Well, what about the one that's eternal to step in there and tell you, you're old, man. You know? But you don't possess the years. Listen, that's the thing that I'm trying to get you. The present possession, you don't possess those years that are behind you. You don't have those. What are they? They're in the record books. They're in the history books. You can't do nothing to change them. You can't do anything to alter them, so you don't possess them. The Lord has them. And you don't possess tomorrow either. And you don't possess the future years because you don't have any guarantee that you'll see them. We're not guaranteed that we'll see tomorrow. We ain't guaranteed the next 5 minutes. We're not. We plan on it, but we don't have any guarantee that we'll have it. So what does that mean? That means that even the years that we may have in the future are not even in our possession because we don't know that we'll see them. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And then in James 4:14, he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? He said, it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The moments of today are what you possess. The moments of today are the gifts of the Lord. That's why they're called present. And the fact that God blessed you with today is a great thing. Today He made for you to do with what you can. You can't do anything about what happened yesterday. You can't do anything about what's going to happen tomorrow. All you've got is today. It's all you've got. That's all you possess right now is today. You possess right this moment. And right now, besides me and my wife, there's three of you sitting in church, and there's probably a dozen or so at home listening. And right now, no matter whether you're sitting in here listening to me or you're sitting at home listening to me, you don't possess tomorrow or yesterday. All you have is right now, today. And what are you doing with it? What are you doing to possess today? What are you doing? Listen, a lot of people got up and went to church this morning, but they ain't possessing it. They got up and they went because it's what you do on Sunday morning when you are a saved person and you live in the country or you're in the Bible Belt. See, there's a difference in possessing what God's given you and then trying to follow on tradition that people give you. I'd rather possess what God wants me to possess as I would to possess what's passed down to me. Not saying that some of those lessons and not saying that some of those things that we've had passed down to us aren't great blessings and helps, but I think I'd rather have what God wants as I would to have what other people want to pass down to me. The moments of today are the gifts. Although Joshua's years are advanced, the Lord still told him, he said, there yet remaineth very much land to be possessed. He said, you're an old man and you're stricken in years, but there's still a lot to do. Tells you the fight ain't ever over. How's the land going to be possessed with the years as advanced as they are? How is that old man going to go in and do what God's telling him is still to be yet to be done? How's he going to do that? The answer is one day at a time. One step at a time. Somebody, I don't know where it come from, but somebody said, how do you eat an elephant? How is it that you eat a whole elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. I don't know that I'd finish him. How are you going to eat a whole elephant? You're going to eat him one bite at a time. Well, how am I going to possess what God wants me to possess in my years being what they could be or what they are? Not having any knowledge that I'll have tomorrow. How do I do it? One day at a time. You want to do it one day at a time. Brother Bill, and he's 75 years old, and I ain't a tattling on him. But Brother Bill, and he knows that I've used this a lot ever since. I mean, he told me this a long time ago, and I've never forgot it. But Brother Bill says, I put my shoes on this morning, but I don't know who will take them off this evening. You know? We don't know, but today's all you've got. You don't have tomorrow. You don't know. You don't have yesterday. It's gone. All you've got's now. You got today, right now. You don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes, let alone the next 5 hours or the 5 days, but you possess this moment. And with it, and what you do with it is just as of great importance as what you did with yesterday when you had it. It's just as important. All right, now let's talk about future and we'll close. Each day brings you one step closer to the eternal inheritance that God has for you, and each step brings you farther into God's grace, but it also brings you another step further into the devil's territory. Because the closer you get to going home, the more likely it is that you are going to have a run-in with the devil. However, each place that's mentioned here now in chapter 13 down verses 2 down to verse 6, all those other places that they mention in there, all of them, although promised as a possession, they didn't come to them immediately. See, there were some things. The Philistines were a group that Israel met in opposition on many occasions. All throughout David's reign and all throughout Saul's reign and all throughout the reign of the other kings, they would run into the Philistines. And so they always had something like that going on. They had other possessions that were borders and land grants that were given to them, but they didn't possess them until years down the road. The point I want to make to you on that is in the future possessing, you're going to have things that God's promised you you're going to have, but they may not come as quickly as you think they might need to come. But they will come. But if God promises you they're coming, they're coming. Keep in mind this fact, and I know that this is probably kind of rhetorical and I shouldn't have to say it, but I'm going to say it. The Lord is coming back. We don't know when He's coming back, and at times I have to sit there and say, you know what, it almost seems like, Lord, are You coming back? But I have to sit there and say, but You promised You were coming. Now, me, myself and brother preacher friend of mine yesterday were talking, and one of the things that we discussed is we discussed the fact that, you know, we have to face reality that we may not be the generation that sees the rapture. We may not. Say, oh, but things are so bad. How could it possibly go much longer? Yeah, they were saying that back in the 20s. I mean, the Depression got on, and don't you know some of them people were sitting there going, how much longer could it be? And then into the 40s, and then into the 60s, and then you get into the Woodstock era, and things are as wicked as hell, and the country's wicked as hell, and the world's wicked as hell. And people are sitting there going, how could it be much longer? And now here we sit on the other end of 2020, looking at 2022 right in the face, and people are going, it can't be much longer. What if it's another 40 years? What's that in the eye of eternity? What's 50 years in the eye of the one who liveth forevermore? What's that? Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I ain't right. But if pattern holds, this thing could go on for another 40 or 50 years. Well, you know what that means? That means that borrowing nothing bad happens, I may have to face the fact that I may see old age. I can't put all my eggs in the rapture basket, because what happens if I live to be 75 or 80? You know the one thing I can put all my eggs in? I can put all my eggs in the judgment seat of Christ basket. Because if I'm getting ready for that, I'm ready for the rapture anyway. I got ready for the rapture when I got saved. So I don't have to worry about getting ready for the rapture. I'm ready for that. He'd call right now. Fine. But the question is if it come time for me to stand to give account of whether or not I've possessed my possessions, that's the question. Am I ready to stand account of that? Everything that He's laid out for me that He wants me to possess, have I possessed it? Have I taken it and I've set up roots and I've allowed it to grow to bear fruit to His honor and His glory? So much so that it's something that the devil and his crowd can't come in and just easily kick my flag off the top of the dirt pile. There's an importance to possessing your possessions. It's not just about saying, yeah, here I am, this is where I'm going to be until things get bad. You know something about a person who finds a home is you ain't going to run them out of it. Amen? They find a place where they truly feel at home, and you ain't going to run them out of it. But if somebody's just looking for a place to plant their flag until things get bad, that's a fair weather friend. That's just somebody who says, Lord, I like it here until things get bad, and then I'm going to go somewhere else where they're not bad. Instead of burrowing down and weathering the storm and battening down the hatches, because this is where I'm getting help. This is where I need to be. This is where God is doing something for me personally. And I need to stay here. So I'm going to batten down the hatches when the storms come, and I'm going to put some concrete in the ground, and I'm going to plant my flag right in the middle of that concrete pad, and that's where my flag is going to stay. Because this is where God's put me, and I want to possess this possession. I don't want to just let it be here as long as everything's okay, and then when things get bad, I'm going to just say, well, they can have it. I'm out of here. That ain't the kind of possession that God wants you and me possessing. That ain't the kind of attitude that we're supposed to have. See, although there's some land that hadn't been possessed, the orders were still to do it. The Lord, He gave them orders to go ahead and do it. If there's ever been a reason to believe the Lord and take Him at His word, it's when He's telling you what to do with something you don't even have yet. Isn't that something? You read through the end of that six verses in chapter 13, and there at the end, look at verse 6. 13:6, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon to Mizrath-Maim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. How else would the Lord be able to tell you, go ahead and possess what I want you to possess, because He's telling you what to do with it once you've got it. That's future possessing. The Lord says, go ahead and start planning on dividing it up like this, because I'm going to give it to you. You look closely at the situation, and what you see is you see that this is a great trial of faith. Why do you say that? Because you have to ask yourself, am I going to take Him at His word without having first seen anything? I mean, I'm looking into all this land that we've still got to possess, and it's still a land of giants. There's still Anakims there. There's still people there that are of great stature and men of renown. They're not all gone. There's still a bunch of them there. And beloved, as each day passes, you're going to run into them every once in a while. You're going to find them. You kick a bush or two enough, you might scare a giant out of it every once in a while. But you know what you got to keep in mind? It's a trial of faith. You realize that y'all coming out here this morning or flipping on the thing and listening or picking up the phone and calling in, y'all realize that that was a trial of faith? That was a trial of faith. You decided, I'm going to give up 45 minutes or an hour of my day today and I'm going to see if I can't get something from God. That's a trial of faith. That's not you being loyal to Heady Mountain Baptist Church. Your loyalty should not be to Heady Mountain Baptist Church. Your loyalty should be to the one who inhabits Heady Mountain Baptist Church. Your loyalty shouldn't even be to your preacher, although if you do have loyalty to your preacher, I appreciate that. And I thank you for it. It's not, it doesn't go unnoticed, nor does it go unappreciated. But I want you to understand that as much as I appreciate loyalty to your preacher, I want you to have loyalty more to him. I'd rather you be loyal to him. All right. Will you go out with the same effort knowing that you have the promise as though you might have something to lose? I mean, you're going to go in and possess these possessions, and God's told you he's going to give them to you, but the standing chance of not being... I mean, listen, there's no guarantee whenever you go in to possess a possession, you know there's going to be conflict. You know that's going to come at the hand of a fight. You know that because the Lord told you it was going to. So the question is the things that you've got right now, the things that you have, do you count them so much value to yourself that you're not willing to lose them if that's what God wants along the way? Is what God wants you to have not as important as what you already have? So you're not willing to step out and take that step of faith because you're worried about not having everything. Listen, every time a family goes through the valleys, there ain't no guarantee that everybody's coming out on the other side. David said it was called the valley of the shadow of death for a reason. And sometimes when you go through the valley, there's no guarantee that you're going to come out on the other side with everybody. I mean, there's been two families just this past week that have walked through the valley and came out on the other side without somebody. Two of them right now. And we're praying for them. I got an aunt and an uncle that had COVID real bad here a while back. My mom's sister and her husband. And they had COVID real, real bad. Both of them on ventilators. Both of them facing both of them standing there facing the death angel. I mean, both of them. They were about to go off into eternity. Both of them were saved and would have went right into the presence of the Lord. But they were still hanging on for everything they had. Their daughters were praying. Their grandchildren were praying. Their parents were praying. Their siblings, all of us were praying for them. God, spare them if it be your will to spare them. Please, Lord, don't take them out. Not both of them. Lord, that would be such a blow if both of them went. But you know what he did? He spared them both. They went to rehab. They had to learn how to breathe again on their own because they'd been on the ventilator for over a month each. And the Lord brought them out. And he restored them back to their own home. Not even relying on anybody to come and take care of them. But you know what he did? This past week, he sent a lot of storm over there. Y'all, 12 inches of rain in less than 6 hours. And they lost their home. And they lost their vehicles. They had to be rescued from their own house by a boat that come up to their front, to the front of their house, floated up to the front of their house, and people got out in the water and swam into their house. And there my aunt and uncle were floating on their mattress. My uncle in chest deep of water in their home. And they got them out and put them in a boat and carried them to high ground and delivered them to my cousin, their daughter, and her husband, who put them on four-wheelers and drove them to their house. after having just come out of the hospital facing death and COVID. All right? My family going through what it has this past week, I was at a kind of a low place. And the Lord knew what I needed. Because as I was walking out of my dad's house and heading down toward my house, and my heart was broken, and I was just trying to, you know, put it all together in my head, you know, that I may not get to see my mama again. And whenever I did, the Lord just kind of let my phone ring. And when I pulled it out and I looked, it said, Rhonda. And I answered it, and it was my aunt. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And she said, honey, we're good. And I said, I am so sorry about y'all's home. And I am so sorry about y'all's vehicles. She said, sweetheart, don't you worry about that. She said, God saved us. I said, yeah, I know he did. She said, I said, but I sure hate that y'all lost everything you had. She said, I got to wake up this morning and hug my grandbabies. She said, you think I'm worried about a house or cars? And then she commenced to encouraging me, telling me, don't give up. You know what that did for me? That allowed me to look at what was out there that I might have to possess, and I may have to go through a valley in order to go and possess it, and I may not have everybody with me when I get on the other side of that valley, but it still made that possession desirable. I want that. Because that's what He's given me. And I want it. So you may not have everybody when you get there. May not, but that ain't my business. That's His. Because I don't possess them. He does. I don't possess her. He does. I don't possess that little one. He does. And if He decided to take either one of them, there'd still be a possession on the other side of the valley, even if I'm one lighter than what I was going into the valley. Future possession is unknown. We just know that the Lord tells you what to do with it before you've even got it. But the question that you have to ask yourself is what's ahead of me and what God wants me to have ahead of me worth me going through the valley and risking coming out with less than what I currently have? Because if it ain't, then you're not going to go forward. You're going to stay right where you're at. You know what'll happen? You'll see that first generation mentality of Israel start coming through. You know what that first generation did? That first generation that died in that wilderness that originally came out of Egypt, you know what they kept telling Moses? Oh, would to God that we'd been content to dwell in Egypt. But you've brought us out in this wilderness to kill us with hunger and kill us with thirst. We've got no water for our children. We've got no water for our cattle. Oh, we had leeks and we had onions and we had garlic and we had everything back in Egypt. Yeah, but you know what they never remembered? They never remembered the whips. They never remembered the killings. They never remembered the slave labor. They never remembered that stuff. But see, they were so concerned about current possession that they'd forgot about past and they wasn't concerned about future. And this morning, we've got only today. This is all you possess right now. You don't have tomorrow. You open your eyes in the morning and the sun's come up and you've been graciously blessed enough through the night that God allows you to see Monday morning, then you possess tomorrow. Then you possess that. But until then, you don't possess it. You just got to realize that if you do open your eyes and you do see it, that God's got something for you. Otherwise, He wouldn't have given it to you. But He's got something for you, so He's giving it to you. And it'll be up to you what you do with it. But you can't do anything about what He gave you yesterday. That's already in the history books. But you got to pay attention to what you're doing today. Say, yeah, I got to get ready for tomorrow. You may not see tomorrow. You better make sure you don't waste today. But when it comes to possessing our own possessions, we're thankful for the past possessing, how God saw fit and the handiwork of God in the lives of those that we came up under, and we saw Him work great works. Even knowing that the future can hold great possessions if we're just willing and faithful, but not knowing what or how the present possessions can come or what it might cost, or, you know, one thing we do know is there's going to be a great need for some personal fellowship with Jesus Christ if we desire that when He comes, He finds us possessing and occupying the things that He has given us. We're going to have to disregard any failings that are behind us. That's a problem with a lot of people not being able to move forward, is because they're stuck on how much they messed up behind them. You can't do that, because that's done with. What you used to be yesterday is not what you are now. It's not what you are today. Say, can I make the switch that fast? Yes. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, His God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You don't have to worry about what you did yesterday. As long as you put that thing under the blood, you can flip the switch and do something different today. And God will be like, yeah, man, let's do it this way. Say, oh, but Lord, I've got such a hole I got to crawl out of. And the Lord said, if you'll ask me, I'll just pick you up out of it and just set you down. You ain't got to crawl out of no hole. He said, I'll pick you up and set you out of that hole and put your feet on the solid rock and establish your goings. You don't have to try to dig your way out of no hole. Say, oh, you just don't know what I've done to get myself in the hole. That don't matter either, because He can still cover all that up. He can cover all that up and fill that hole in. And He'll put your feet on the solid ground. And then He'll show you how to walk in that new possession, because He's given it to you. You ain't got to stay in no hole. Amen. You can get out of that thing and you can walk just like you've walked. You can walk today just like you've walked in that same way for years. That's a blessing of the grace of God, is that He can take somebody who left a mess worth of their life yesterday, and He can put their feet on solid ground, and they can walk today just like they've been walking like that for 20 years. Say, I've wasted so much time. Well, then get to walking. Get to walking. Possess that possession. Don't just stick your flag in the top of the dirt pile. Pour you some concrete around that thing. Say, this is where I'm going to stay. This is where I'm going to remain. I'm not leaving. Come the bad weather, come the good weather, come deserters, come newcomers, I don't care. I'm staying. I'm staying. If everybody else abandons ship, I'm staying. If there's more people wants to join, great, I'm still staying. Nobody's going to run me out of here. Why? This is my possession. This is what God's given me. This is where I'm growing. This is where God's helping me. And I'm not leaving. Amen. Blessed Father, we just want to thank You today. Lord, I hope that the message has been a help to somebody. I thank You, Lord, for the possessions that we've had in the past. But Lord, I'm thankful for what we've got right now. Lord, I'm looking forward to what You've got in the future, though, Lord, I don't know what it may be. I don't know when we may see it. Lord, we may not. But I know we've been given today, and I pray that You'll just help us to do everything we can with today. Lord, not to worry about tomorrow, because we don't have any guarantee that we'll even see it. Lord, I'm going to do my best to close this service out, go home with my family, sit down in my desk, and get ready for tonight. Because today is what I have. I don't have tomorrow. I ain't got yesterday. I've just got today. But Lord, I want You to know I love You, and I thank You for today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And Lord, I thank You for today. Please bless those who heard this message, and let it be an encouragement to them. Something that's going to help them along the way, that's going to give them the strength to go through that valley and come out on the other side, even if they're not possessing what they did when they started in the valley. Lord, give them the strength to possess what's on the other side of it. And we'll thank You, Lord. We'll praise You and give You all the glory. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, we appreciate everybody listening. Hope